Have you ever had the anticipation that something was going to go a certain way, but only to have it completely change on you? Or give you a result you didn't see coming? Maybe life was going along great, and out of nowhere, maybe you received a disturbing phone call or a report from your doctor that was difficult to take. Joseph in the Bible is a perfect illustration of someone whose life did not go as you and I would probably plan it. How Joseph was repeatedly following what appeared to be God's will, what appeared to be obedience. Yet time after time, he was thrown curveball, time after time. One detour after another, after another. And just when you think it's going to get good for Joseph, it gets worse. And just when you think it couldn't change, it does. You don't need reminded, but I'll quickly tell you, could you imagine Joseph's surprise as he's the favorite? The Bible tells us that. And as he's given a command to go out and check on his brothers, so he does. And they see Joseph afar off, and they call him the dreamer. And he is so oblivious to what's going on, because I don't think you would go there by yourself if you really thought your life was in danger. So Joseph goes out a ways, and the Bible makes it sound it's a pretty good distance, okay? So Joseph goes out, and not only is he surprised, he's basically attacked. And they take him and they throw him in a pit. Now, the Bible doesn't spend much time in the beginning there, but there's such hatred, they talk of killing him. Could you imagine how much hatred you have to have in someone's heart that you want to kill someone? And they don't just want to kill someone, they want to kill a relative. And not just a cousin or an aunt or an uncle, they want to kill their own brother. Could you imagine how much hatred, how much wrath is in them? I've gotten pretty fired up at people, but I've never wanted to kill anybody. Well, no. I asked my dad one time, I said, have you ever thought about divorce? He said, son, your mother and I have never talked of divorce. He said, murder, But in all seriousness, Joseph is completely, totally caught off guard. You fast forward in the story, and it makes my heart ache to think of this. The brothers, we'll get to this, are reliving the story, and they say, didn't he cry out to us? It's one thing to hurt someone, but when someone's begging for mercy and you're ignoring them, how cold-hearted can you be? Certainly, Joseph's life was thrown a curveball. He had an unexpected event, an unexpected turn. Tonight, very briefly, I would like to think and talk about five lessons we can learn from Joseph. A very, very simple message. Five lessons we can learn from Joseph. Lesson number one is this. If you're taking notes, God does not have to follow our timetable. Okay, write that down, even in your mind or on paper. God does not have to follow our timetable. Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 through 8. We fast forward now to Joseph's life. He's in prison. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended the Lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them inward in the house of the captain of the guard and to the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which was bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And we know the story. Joseph goes on, and he interprets the dreams with God's help. But he asked them one simple favor. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for food. He just said, remember me. A simple favor. Not really hard. Doesn't anything you have to take on or put yourself out. All Joseph said is, look, when you get out of prison, remember me. And what did they say? You got it, Joseph. We have to understand here. It's one thing to be punished, ridiculed, run down when you have it coming. But don't forget, beloved, Joseph was an innocent man. He sat in day after day, month after month, year after year. Why? He was innocent. He did no wrong. And he simply said, remember me. And surely Joseph must have thought, that's it. I'm finally going to get out of this dump. My name's going to be restored, and I'm going to get back in front where I belong. We pick back up in chapter 40 of Genesis, verse 21. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. And this is a sad, sad verse. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. And you might say, how can you be so selfish? How could you be so selfish to forget a promise like that? A friend in jail. How could you move on so quickly? But then I reminded myself how quick I move on and forget about God. How quickly I pray for something and never thank God for one time. How quickly I judge people when I see them in the store and then I forget, by God's grace, there go I. How quickly we can judge other cultures and judge other people. We live in the greatest nation on earth, beloved. And we can very quickly run down people who don't handle their money well and run them down. Let me tell you something. Don't be so proudful, beloved. It's not because you're a smart person. It's not because you work hard. It's God's grace, beloved. Any one of us could be in hell tonight. It's God's grace. Don't forget that. Don't throw stones at everybody all the time. Don't put yourself up here. You don't deserve to be up here. I don't deserve to be up there. Don't forget. Remember where you came from. How about a little grace every now and then? How about a lot of grace every now and then? How about you just pour it on people? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, we have one debt to the world, one debt. What is it? To show them the love of Christ. That's our debt. It's our debt to society. How are we doing paying off that debt, beloved? How you doing? If the world depended on your love, you show the world, what would it think of Christ? What would it think? Can I tell you something? You are that one person to somebody. That one person looks to you. You don't think so. Coworker, friend, unsaved relative, someone's looking at you. Joseph was learning a valuable lesson, though. And here it is. God is always on time. God's not late. God knew that Joseph was not ready to get out of prison yet. Joseph was still going through the refiner's fire. Beloved, I'm here to tell you on this Wednesday night, just because God hasn't answered your prayer, just because God hasn't taken away that burden, just because God hasn't lifted that financial crisis, just because God hasn't brought home that wayward child, just because God hasn't healed that physical difficulty, just because God hasn't silenced the gossip's tongue or silenced that critic or God hasn't removed your thorn of the flesh, doesn't mean that he's saying no. It doesn't mean that he's forgotten about you. It doesn't mean that his clock is broke. It just means he's on time, every time, perfectly. Why? Because he's God. And I'm here to tell you, he doesn't owe us a thing. Everything we get from God is from his mercy. And thank God it renews every day. His perfect pace, his perfect plan, his perfect timetable. Joseph was learning that in times like this, our faith is being tested and our faith is growing. God looked at Joseph and he said, "It's not time yet, Joseph." And there he sat. The Bible says for 2 more years. Think about how long that is. Sometimes I read through the scripture, 2 years. 2 years is a long time. Think about what happens. Psalms 25:5 says, "Lead me in truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Psalms 25:21, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." Psalms 27:14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Have you often prayed to God for patience and then asked him to hurry up? Psalms 37:9, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Psalms 37:34, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." Psalms 38:15, "For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God." Psalms 59:9, "Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense." Psalms 62:5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." Just as Joseph was learning in prison, while God often delays, his plans are not disturbed. Why? Because he's God. He might take a month, he may take a year, he may take a decade, he may take a lifetime. I've seen God do incredible things in people's lives that I thought he would never do anything with. Why? Because he's God. Long after I have played God and wrote things off, God has said, "I'm just starting, David. Sit down. Get out of my way. I don't need your help. You can take your critical, rotten attitude, David, and just get behind me. I'm going to show you what I can do." Why? Because I'm God. I wonder on those cold, dark nights if Satan whispered in Joseph's ear, tempting him, mocking him. He's forgotten. Look what's gotten you, Joseph. You honoring your dad? Slavery. Do you remember how embarrassing it was? Wearing next to nothing on that auction block? That's what happened to Joseph. He was a slave, beloved. How were slaves purchased? On an auction block. In chains? The Bible says he was in irons. Yeah. Try that God thing again, Joseph. Where's it got you? Yeah, you got accused. You're in jail. How long has it been, Joseph? 2 years? 3 years? 4 years? Joseph, when are you going to wake up, Joseph? Well, he turned to his Bible. He didn't have a Bible. We went to his pastor. Guess what? He didn't have a pastor. He didn't even have the clean air wrap. But he had one thing. He had his faith in God. Beloved, when Satan whispers in your ear, just quote back to him 2 Timothy 1:12. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." We've got a lot to get to. Lesson number one, God does not have to follow our timetable. Lesson number two, God does not lead us into a trial and then leave us alone in the trial. God does not lead us into a trial and then leave us alone in the trial. Genesis 39:21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Beloved, remember this. Outward prosperity is not a direct reflection of his goodness. Just because Joseph was poor, just because he was in prison, just because he was betrayed, doesn't mean that God was not in it. It was God who sent Joseph to prison in the first place. Why would we expect God to leave him now? Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Psalms 105, 17 through 19 reminds us, he sent a man before him, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. That's Joseph. He was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. A servant who loved God, sold into slavery. And it wasn't just slavery, beloved. It's one thing to maybe have a rotten job and get to come home at night. He was taken from his family, everything he ever knew. He had to learn a new dialogue. He had to learn a new culture. He had to learn a new way of living. He had to learn a new way to address. Everything was changed. Everything. All of his friends were gone. His parents was gone. His lifestyle was gone. And he's alone in a prison cell. Year after year after year. The word tried in this verse means refined. God had not left Joseph alone in the dungeon. God was there with him, refining him for his future use. God was with Joseph when he was in the pit. God was with Joseph when he was for sale on the auction block. God was with Joseph when he was tied up, walking that long walk to Egypt. Romans 5 says, verses 3 and 4, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. What is tribulation? Patience. It's endurance. It's steadfastness. It's perseverance. Then what is patience? It's experience. Character that has been tried and proven. What is experience? It's hope. It's confident expectation that God will work this for his good. How does that come? Trials and tribulations. I don't know of a solid Christian that hasn't been through the fire. I don't know of a one. I don't know of a one. Why? Because that's God's plan. And to think that he always has my best interest in mind. Always. Psalms 42:5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieting me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the hope of his countenance. Countenance in this verse is his presence. He's with us all the time. Joseph learned that God's presence was to be preferred to a prosperous life. Joseph had it made. He was head butler. He came and went as he pleased at the house. He got to eat what he wanted. He got to sleep where he wanted. He had everything. And all he had to do was compromise. He said, no, I'm not going to compromise. What it cost him? A lot. I wonder if we were to walk up in the prison cell that day of Joseph and dangle the keys in front of him and simply say this, Joseph, you can have your freedom, but you can't have God's presence. I wonder what he would choose. And beloved, I ask you the same question tonight. Do you want God's presence or do you want the world's prosperity? I'm here to tell you, you cannot have both. You cannot have both. We've mixed Christianity with the world so much that we think it's a smorgasbord and we can take and come and go as we please. I'm here to tell you that is not how it works. I can't have some of God someday and not some of God the next day. God wants all of me all of the time, or he doesn't have any of me. That's a hard thing, David. That's what God wants. He's a very jealous God. He wants you, beloved. He doesn't want you on Sundays only. He doesn't want you on Wednesdays only. He wants you all the time. At times, we sacrifice his presence for the temporary relief this world provides. What, David? I can't be happy in this life. That's not what I said. We can learn very quickly that we can do all things through Christ. We can learn very quickly that God can glorify through our lives and what we do if we are living with God once. Someone said this. I did not come up with this on my own. I thought this was good. Obedience to God is doing his is not doing his will, okay? Obedience to God is not doing his will. Uh-oh. Did I get your attention yet? Good. Some of you are sleeping. Obedience to God is not doing his will, but rather, obedience to God is delighting in doing his will. Delighting in doing his will. I love it when the boys obey me. It brings me great joy. I really like it when they do it joyfully. Boys, go do your piano. We used to time them. Travis has a watch now. Say, Travis, use it for 15 minutes. You can hear him setting the button. I'm like, Travis, take your watch off. He times us now. One time, Lucas got done. And Lynette said, that's enough practicing. Lucas starts running through the house. Yes, I'm free as a bird. I'm done. I'm free as a bird. I'm like, Lucas, that's enough. Have a seat. Lesson number one, God does not have to follow our timetable. Lesson number two, God does not lead us into trial and then leave us alone in the trial. Lesson number three, God does not give us his mercy and then expect us to be selfish with it. God does not give us his mercy and then expect us to be selfish with it. Genesis 39 says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Beloved, some of the most compassionate, merciful people I have ever met are people who have received mercy themselves. Why? They get it. They understand it. There are many times and many things that can get me fired up about the boys. And Lucas asked me, he knew us preaching. He said, Dad, you going to talk about us tonight? I said, yes. He said, good, I'm not going to be in there. I'm going to be in Awana. One of the biggest things that makes me upset about the boys the most is when one of them is begging, crying for mercy or compassion or help, and it falls on a deaf ear. You've asked the boys, that'll get me so fired up. It gets very ugly in the Wyrick household very quickly. We don't have a lot of rules. Well, we probably do. But one of them is, if your brother's asking for compassion, you better give it to him. Because that's a pattern, beloved. If they're not compassionate at 9, they're not going to be compassionate at 19. If they're not compassionate at 9, they're not going to be passionate at 39. I've heard someone say, yeah, you know, they're kind of getting older. No, they've always been that way. They just can't hide it as well because they're older. It's not. There's no such thing as a grouchy old person. They're just a bunch of grouchy young people that become grouchy middle-aged people that are now grouchy old people. A person that's usually kind-hearted unless there's a mental illness there. I'm not looking at Larry. Stop. Mrs. Peach, you look right over at Larry. You know the sweet old lady? It's not because she's old. She was sweet when she was 10. She was sweet when she was 50. She was sweet when whatever old is. I'm not going to start naming names here. You see, beloved, there's so much to get here. I'm not going to get to all of this. Has anyone here received mercy? I mean undeserved mercy. I mean unearned, unmerited. Have you? Do you know what that's like? Do you know how refreshing it is when you don't deserve it and someone just gives you a pass? Beloved, that's what God did for us. And how dare we not show that mercy to everybody else? I'm not saying a free pass to overlook everyone's sin, but I am saying if there should ever be a place full of compassion that it just oozes, it's with Christians. Honestly, this is a very dangerous statement, but sometimes you're going to get taken advantage of. No one's getting away with Jack. I'm telling you, God will pay it back. He keeps a perfect set of rules. Ain't no one getting away with anything. And don't think you're so selfish that you've got the corner market on what who should or should not be doing things. I get very weary when people talk about their goodness. I don't say anything, but in my mind, I'm like, you don't get it. You don't get it. The people that love the Lord, it's all over them. They don't have to talk about it. It just comes out. The compassion just comes out. The mercy just comes out. It's so beautiful. Now, you are allowed to brag on state championships, though, Lynette. I try to bring it up once a week. It's pretty bad, the Wirecastle, what it really is. The other day, I played like basketball intro music, and I put it in my pocket and walked in. I was like, and now your championship coach. I come out in the kitchen. The boys just looked at me, Dad, are you done now? I did that, didn't I? Yeah, I really did. I want to read these Bible verses to you. And Joseph returned to Egypt, and he and his brethren and all that went up to bury him. Talking about his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph, or peradventure, hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did upon him. See, they didn't forget, did they? No, they didn't forget. So the brothers come up with a plan. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command thee before he said, you know, died. So shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Why? It was so in him, the mercy he had. It was already coming out. You realize it was in his power to tear those men apart, and no one would have thought another thing about it. He's second in command. He could do whatever he wanted. He simply could have said, and guards would have, heads would have been flying everywhere. But what did Joseph do? No, that's not what he did. You know, hurt is bad, but I don't think there's anything worse than family hurt. I don't think there is. I don't think there is. It was in his power to punish and get revenge, but he didn't do that. The Bible says it flowed out of him. He said, and this gets me every time. So here they are, they're basically like, Joseph, don't kill us. We know you have every right. We know that we tortured you. We know we did you wrong. We know we basically robbed you of your childhood. And you have every right to be mad at us. And Joseph said this, and talk about a godly man. I don't think I could do this. And Joseph said to them, fear not. This is verse 19 of chapter 50 of Genesis. Is it up on the screen here? Yeah. Fear not. See this, beloved? For am I in the place of God? Whew. Can you imagine what he's saying there? He said, look, I'm not God. I'm not going to play God. What's he saying? Who gets the vengeance? God does. Joseph says, no, no, no. I'm going to show you love. I'm going to show you mercy. I'm going to show you compassion. Why? He was shown mercy, love, and compassion by God. I'm here to say that America, the church, the world would be a better place if Christians would stop trying to take the place of God. And just let God be God. And let God do his job. And I'm not trying to be irreverent. Believe me, he's more than capable. He's more than capable of doing it. And guess what? He's going to. And there ain't no one that can stop him. No, none of us. Lesson number four we learn. God does not want to share in the glory. God does not want to share in the glory. You see, Joseph got the big picture. He realized very quickly that God was the secret to his success. I didn't give this to him, but let's turn to it real quick. And I'm not going to be able to give you all the points. So I'll stop right here. But let's turn to Genesis 41. This will be the last point we give you. I had 13 more. I'm kidding. I really didn't. My Bible's so tore up, I can pour it like this so I can see it. Genesis chapter 41. And let's read verses 15 and 16, okay? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. So here's Joseph standing before a very powerful man. And he's not saved. And right now is a perfect opportunity for Joseph to say, yeah, I can't do dreams really. Pharaoh, throw me some grapes. Let me prop my feet up. Pharaoh, what you got, buddy? Tell me, and I'll see if I can work something out. That's not his attitude. What did he say? And Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not me, in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. What's the first thing he does? He was in prison. Remember, he shaved, changed his clothes, got up. Now's the time to shine. There's no guarantee Joseph isn't going back to prison. There's no guarantee. This is the same guy who threw him in prison. Remember that, beloved? There's no guarantee. So what's he do? He gives God the glory. First thing he does. He says, look, before we get started, I want you to know it's not me, it's God. Okay? Verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. And seven kind, and they talked about what it went through there. And then verse number 32. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Once again, who's he giving credit to? Who's he giving glory to? He's giving it to God. And then he closes this. And this is where it finally turns around for Joseph after all these years. He interprets the dream. He's been in prison. He hasn't exactly had a great life. We say, yeah, but he was head of the prison. Where is he still at, beloved? Prison. I mean, we're not talking to Hilton here. It still was prison. He still had to sleep in a jail cell. So even though he was head of Pharaoh's for a while, he still was in a pit and he still was a slave and he kept doing what's right and God kept blessing him. And finally he gets to a point and God has been refining Joseph and working on Joseph. Why? Because he was about to be, for all intent purposes, the leader of the free world. He really was. And here's the closing. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such as a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? Does that sound like a bitter man to you? No. Does that sound like if he was bitter and hateful, do you think that would have come out to Pharaoh? I think so. But no, the countenance of God oozed from Joseph. Praise God. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all of this, now he's gotten Pharaoh talking about God. That's amazing to me. This guy doesn't even believe in God. Now he's saying, yep, God told you. Yep, it's God. That's amazing. You forget. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. You are the man, Joseph. He went from prison to being the man. Why? Because Joseph learned the school of hard knocks. And when he didn't complain, he didn't crab, he didn't compromise. He didn't do any of that. When Joseph had the opportunity to do what was right, he did what was right every single time. And God finally blessed him. And now it was going to get to the point that basically the whole world, for what they knew, came to Egypt for food and help. And who was in charge? Joseph was. Point number five, and I won't get into it, we're out of time, is God does not want us to trust in man, but wants us to trust in him. That's point number five, but we're out of time. Beloved, here's the deal. 2 Corinthians 4, 7, 17 and 18. For our light affliction, what is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One of my mother-in-law's favorite sayings, whenever we talk about anything of any worth on this earth, is she says, what difference does it make? It's all going to burn anyways. You talk about a nice car. Now, Rebecca, don't scratch the truck. Oh, Jim, it's all going to burn anyways. What difference does it make? I can say this stuff now that I'm pastoring. But I think you'd agree that her perspective changes how she handles life. Because, I'm not trying to build her up. She doesn't see luxuries. She sees souls everywhere. And when you look out and you see souls and you see people hurting, I promise you, it changes your perspective on life. And beloved, we've got to know that when God looks down at us, he doesn't see chess pieces. He sees souls.